Let's pay careful attention to God's word to us this morning. As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David, and his armor and even his sword and his bow and his belt. And David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him, so that Saul set him over the men of war. And this was good in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. As they were coming home, when David returned from striking down the Philistine, the woman came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tambourines, with songs of joy, and with musical instruments. And the woman sang to one another as they celebrated, "Saul has struck down his thousands, and David his 10,000s." And Saul was very angry, and this saying displeased him. He said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed thousands. And what more can he have but the kingdom?" And Saul eyed David from that day on. The next day, a harmful spirit from God rushed upon Saul, and he raved within his house while David was playing the lyre, as he did day by day. Saul had his spear in his hand, and Saul hurled the spear, for he thought, "I will pin David to the wall." But David evaded him twice. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. So Saul removed him from his presence and made him a commander of 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David had success in all his undertakings, for the Lord was with him. And when Saul saw that he had great success, he stood in fearful awe of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, for he went out and came in before them. Then Saul said to David, "Here is my elder daughter Merab. I will give her to you for a wife. Only be valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles." For Saul thought, "Let not my hand be against him, but let the hand of the Philistines be against him." And David said to Saul, "Who am I? And who are my relatives, my father's clan in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king?" But at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, she was given to Adriel, the Mahalathite, for a wife. Now Saul's daughter Michal loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. Saul thought, "Let me give her to him, that she may be a snare for him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him." Therefore Saul said to David a second time, "You shall now be my son-in-law." And Saul commanded his servants, "Speak to David in private and say, 'Behold, the king has delight in you, and all his servants love you. Now then, become the king's son-in-law.'" And Saul's servants spoke those words in the ears of David. And David said, "Does it seem to you a little thing to become the king's son-in-law, since I am a poor man and have no reputation?" And the servants of Saul told him, "Thus and so did David speak." Then Saul said, "Thus you shall say to David, 'The king desires no bride price except 100 foreskins of the Philistines, that he may be avenged of the king's enemies.'" Now Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law. Before the time had expired, David arose and went, along with his men, and killed 200 of the Philistines. And David brought their foreskins, which were given in full number, to the king, that he might become the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him his daughter Michal for a wife. But when Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him, Saul was even more afraid of David. So Saul was David's enemy continually. Then the commanders of the Philistines came out to battle, and as often as they came out, David had more success than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was highly esteemed. So far, God's word. May I encourage you to keep his word open before you as we look at this passage together this morning. But first of all, let's pray together. Please pray with me. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this word that you have given us this morning. As we hear now its explanation, Lord, open our hearts and minds to receive your word. Remove any of the distractions of the day, of the weekend from us, that we may simply focus on you. Work in our hearts this morning, we pray, in the way that only your Holy Spirit can. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, behind every great man is a great woman, yes, a great woman. Do you agree with me? Men, shock each other and nod your heads. Say yes. The idea here is that, be it a wife or a mother, the idea here is that success is never in isolation. Success comes by when people surround us, support us, help us, pray for us, believe in us. And here in 1 Samuel this morning, 1 Samuel 18, we have a comparison of success and failure. This morning we're going to ask the question, where does our help come from? What's behind our success in life? Who is behind our success in life? What do we mean by success? The main idea I want us to see this morning, and it'll be up on the screen shortly, is we are successful when the Lord is with us. We're not going to work through this chapter blow by blow as such. We're going to look at this chapter this morning through two perspectives. The perspective of Saul and the perspective of David. So first of all, this morning we look through Saul's perspective. Our first point is we fail when God is not with us. There's a joke told about a person lying in bed with the blankets over their heads. And as they're lying there, they say, I don't want to go to school today. None of the kids like me. They all make fun of me. And the other person says, you have to go to school. You're the teacher. That's a little bit of what Saul must have felt like. It seemed that everyone was against Saul, or everyone was turning against Saul. It was clear that the people loved David. Verse 5 of chapter 18, we read this. David was successful wherever Saul sent him. This was good in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. In verse 7, we have the song that the woman is singing. Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s. And here for Saul, paranoia starts to come. You see, this passage can also be translated, Saul and David have struck down their thousands and 10,000s. It wasn't necessarily meant as a slur against Saul. It could equally have meant that the people were praising and singing and rejoicing the victory that Saul and David had got together. But Saul takes the statement, he takes the song in the worst possible light. The seeds of jealousy that are in Saul's heart are beginning to grow. He feeds it, he nourishes it. And no doubt in the back of his mind is 1 Samuel 15 verse 28, where Samuel has said this to Saul. Verse 28 of chapter 15. And Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you this day and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. We see that idea, no doubt, is in Saul's mind there, as he says there in verse 8. They have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed thousands. What more can he have but the kingdom? Verse 9, and saw I David from that day on. Saul's schemes to get rid of David had no success. The next day, after he heard the song being sung, he tries to pin David to the wall, and he fails not once, but twice. Because he's afraid of David, he sends him out and makes him the commander of 1,000, placing him in danger as a commander of the army. But every time he puts a scheme in place, it seems that David has more success. He promises Merab to David. Something that should have happened a lot earlier, as David had conquered Goliath. But what is Saul's thought, behind this doing this? Verse 17 of chapter 18. Let not my hand be against him, but let the hand of the Philistines be against him. Merab, for some reason, is given to another. Another opportunity comes with Michal. But here again, the stakes are high. Saul thinks in chapter 18, verse 21, let me give her, Michal that is, to him, that she may be a snare for him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Things seem to play in Saul's hand a wee bit, as David says, How can I have Michal for a wife? I am a man of no reputation. I'm a poor man. So Saul gives a bride price. 100 foreskins of the Philistines. Now again here, David would be placed at great risk. I mean, he can't exactly walk up to the Philistines and say, can I have 100 of your foreskins, please, can he? They're not going to part with those very easily. More risk to David. But again, no success. The people love David even more. Why does Saul not have success? Well, his paranoia is one thing. But Saul himself knows why he doesn't have success. Verse 12 of chapter 18. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. Verses 28 to 29. And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law. Before the time had expired, that's verse 26, sorry, dropping down to 28. But when Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him, Saul was even more afraid of David. So Saul was David's enemy continually. Saul knew the Lord was with David. He knew the Lord was not with him. The Lord had departed from him. That's why Saul didn't find any success. What do we learn, first of all, from Saul's failures? Well, the first thing we learn is that if the Lord is not with you, if Jesus Christ is not your Savior, then like Saul, you have good reason to be afraid. Hebrews 10 verse 31 says, it is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of a living God. If you are not one of God's children, you have good reason to be afraid. Now, things in life may not always go against you. You may have a successful life. Things may never go against you. You may have success and fame, and life may go well for you every single day that you live. But there's more to life than this life. Hebrews 9 verse 27 tells us that the time is coming where every single one of us will face judgment. What will you say then? What will you say before your Maker as you meet him? Now, thankfully this morning, most of us, I pray all of us, do believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. We trust that the Lord, our Lord, as the Maker of heaven and earth, is our God. But there's also a warning for us here in this passage as we look at Saul as well. And that's the area of Saul's jealousy. Saul was driven by envy. He couldn't stand David. It gnawed at him. He hated David. We need to be careful in our own lives of sowing and feeding the seeds of jealousy. We do that, don't we? I see so-and-so has got a new car. They must be doing pretty well. Look at so-and-so's kids. How come they are always perfect and mine aren't? Little spoiler there. Their kids aren't actually perfect. Why can't I have what they have? Why do things always seem to go well for them? And look at the troubles that I'm having in my life. It's obvious that God has given them gifts, but he hasn't given me any. Why have I missed out? Why do they always seem to get invited and no one ever invites me? Brothers and sisters, jealousy is a cancer that only brings trouble and heartache. No, brothers and sisters, don't go there. Rather, do what Paul encourages us to do. Remind us of the reality that we live in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul says there, speaking of the body that we are part of, the body of Christ, God has so composed the body, giving greater honour to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honoured, all rejoice together. Rather than being envious of your brother and sister in Christ, celebrate how God has blessed them. Give thanks how God has blessed them. Rejoice with those who are able to rejoice, just as much as we weep with those who weep. Is there envy, jealousy in your heart this morning? Is there something that you need to confess before your Maker this morning? Saul failed because God was not with him. If God is not with you, you too will fail eternally. Saul was doomed to fail. He was right to be afraid. But we cannot fail when God is with us. And that brings us to our second point this morning. We cannot fail when God is with us, David. If everyone hated Saul, everyone loves David. You can't read this chapter and not pick that up. Saul's servants loved David. The people loved David. Jonathan loved David. Beginning of the chapter, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And it seems that Jonathan loved him so much that he gave over his right to the throne. It's not clear in the passage here. The indications are that by giving the robe and the armor and the sword, that was what he was indicating. But even if that wasn't what he was indicating, Jonathan himself comes and says to that conclusion in chapter 23, verse 17. He says this to David, "Do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Saul, my father, also knows this." Jonathan loved David. The servants loved David. The ladies, the woman of Israel, loved David. We read that time and time again, verse 16. All Israel and Judah loved David, for he went out and came in before them. In verses 30, and at the end of the chapter there too, we read, the commanders of the Philistines came out to battle, and as often as they came out, David had more success than all the servants of Saul. So that's David's name was highly esteemed. David succeeds. He wins all the battles. He gets the girl. He overachieves. Not 100 foreskins, but 200. Why was he loved? Why was he successful? Is it because he was good looking? Is it because he was great at battle? Is it because he was humble in his response to Saul? Well, while all those things are true, that's not why David was successful. We see the answer of why David was successful in verse 12. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. Verse 14. And David had success in all his undertaking, for the Lord was with him. Verse 15. And when Saul saw that he had success, he stood in fearful awe of him. Verse 28. But when Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michael, Saul's daughter, loved him, Saul was even more afraid of David. David's success came because the Lord was with him. Even Saul sees that. He hates David, but he can't help but acknowledge that God is with him. And so it is, brothers and sisters, with us. As David himself says in Psalm 124, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Brothers and sisters, just as it was with David, so is with us. If the Lord is with us, we cannot help but have success. We cannot fail. We cannot fail as a church, as God's church. As God promised in Matthew 16, as Jesus himself promised in Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 18, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. The church will never fail, no matter how much it's beaten, persecuted, because God is with us. We have success in our life. We have eternal success because God is with us. Because of Jesus Christ, we have salvation. We have eternal life. Jesus Christ, who was hated by the people who should have loved him, put to death by the Romans, but raised from the grave for us. So that our sin is paid for, so that death has been conquered. Because God is with us, brothers and sisters, we cannot fail eternally. We have eternal success. But we also have success in life now. Does that mean if God is with us, that we will have riches, that we will have fame, that we will have fortune? Well, maybe. Sometimes. But that's not the point of the passage here. David had those things. But he also had a life that was filled with sorrow, with difficulty, as he battled his own sin and the struggles of others. Where was David's real success? His success was in the fact that God was with him. You see, God is at work here in the background of this passage. Why did the spear not pin David twice? Because God's providence was guiding and protecting him. Why did David not get slain in battle, despite many opportunities for that to happen? Because God was with him. You see, David goes through this passage blissfully unaware in many respects that Saul is actually against him. It's not till later on that that is actually made clear. But yet, there in the background is God protecting, guiding him. Does God promise us easy times in life? No, he doesn't, does he? But what he does promise us is that he will be with us every single step of the way. His promise to the disciples is promised to us as well. That he will be with us always. He is with us through his Holy Spirit. He is with us through his providential care, guiding and protecting us. And like David, we don't always see that. It's like learning to ride a bike, and you're learning to ride your bike, and your mum or your dad is behind you, holding onto the bike. And at one stage you think, I'm doing it. You're pedaling away on the bike, and you're going along. But you don't see behind you. Is your mum or dad running behind you, holding the bike steady? And even when you do fall off the bike, you don't see that your mum and dad stopped you from going in that pothole, stopped you from being hit by that car that came. God is always at work in the background. When we fall, when we fail, he is still there with us. He is at the work in the background even when things are going well. When your life is blessed, when you have human success, if we can put it that way, it's not because of your brilliance. It's not because of your cleverness. It's not because of your good looks. It's because of the gifts that God has given you. Because God is guiding you and blessing what you do. We only have success eternally because the Lord is with us. We have success in this life no matter where things go well or things go badly, because God is with us. He carries us through and he promises that he will get us there. He will take us home. So where are you in your life? Are you trying to live life on your own? It's simply hard work. Are you choosing to ignore Jesus Christ in your life? You can't sit on the fence. God is either with you or he is against you. There is no in between. That's what we read about in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. You are either for God or you're against him. There's nowhere other than those two possibilities. If you cannot say this morning, my help is in the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, my trust, my faith, my hope is in Jesus Christ, then you will not have eternal success. You cannot have eternal success. If you can say that, if you can sing that, as we're going to sing that shortly, then praise him this morning. Praise him that if God is with you, you cannot fail eternally, no matter what happens in your life. Praise him that he is walking with you each step of the way, that he is always at work in the background, even when you don't see him working. No matter what you go through, brother, sister, friend, God is with you. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that if we are in Jesus Christ, we know what our eternal future will be, that it is secure. We thank you that as we go through this life, we know that you are always at work in the background, that you are always there looking over us and after us. We know that that doesn't promise an easy ride in life, and Lord, if we're honest, sometimes we do really struggle with that. We want to believe that all will go well if we trust in you. But that's not what you promise. You promise us that you will walk with us every step of the way. Remind us of that as we go through the tough times. Help us not to praise ourselves when we go through good times. Instead, to give you the glory, because you are with us. We pray especially this morning, Heavenly Father, for anyone here, for those who we know who are dear to us, that cannot say, God is with me. Work in their hearts, we pray. Soften their hearts. Take those cold stone hearts and turn them into hearts that beat for you. Lord, that is a cross that many of us bear here this morning. Our hearts ache as we think of those who have not placed their hope and trust in you. Help them to realize they can't sit on the fence. They can't have it both ways. They're either for you or against you. Make them uncomfortable so that they come to the conclusion that the only hope, the only peace they can have is when they are in you. This is our prayer this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing now from Psalm 124, the psalm that I referred to. The psalm that we confess together as we began the worship service this morning. Our help is in the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Let's stand and sing number 124, after which I invite you to remain standing as God blesses us as his people.